morning to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. If you open right to the middle of your Bible, it'll be Psalms. And then if you go to the right after that, you'll find a couple small books, but then Isaiah and then Jeremiah. We'll be in Jeremiah chapter 38 this morning. Jeremiah chapter 38. We will read together the first six verses. And I want to give you a message on the message of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 38, beginning in verse number 1. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. Jeremiah chapter 38, beginning in verse number 1. Then Shephatiah, the son of Mathan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah. That's what took most of my study time this week, right there. Okay? The son of Malchiah heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, He that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live. For he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, This city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes, those were the five that we read about it in verse 1, said unto the king, We beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah, and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. We're going to end our reading right there. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, now we thank you for this time of the preaching and proclaiming of your word. God, I ask for clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Father, most of all, I ask for your touch from heaven, Lord, to be upon these words that you have laid upon my heart, Father, those which I have meditated on in these last few days and prepared to deliver to these thy people this morning. I pray, God, you'd use them to challenge us. Father, use these words to speak to our hearts. God, use these words to encourage us or convict us, Father, whatever our need might be this morning. And Father, for many of us, we need both. And Lord, as we look at Jeremiah and the message that you gave him and the reaction of his message, Father, may we recognize that the Bible is not just written about past history, though it is. Father, it's a picture and an illustration of the very day that we live in today. And so, Father, use your word to challenge our hearts this morning. We pray especially, should there be anyone in our midst that's never committed their heart and life to Jesus Christ, never received Him as their personal Savior, that God, you'd speak especially to that heart. God, not necessarily in judgment and harshness, but Father, speak in your love, showing them what price was paid for their sin on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And Lord, during the course of this message, we pray your Holy Spirit would deal with that heart and bring them to a saving faith even today. Bless your word. Open our hearts to it. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The book of Jeremiah is the second longest book in the Bible. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of took me by surprise just when I started looking at it and thinking about it. We all know what the longest book of the Bible is. It's the book of Psalms. 150 chapters long. All right? 91 pages in my Bible, and I know that goes from one to another, but they're comparable from one to the other. The book of Psalms, without a doubt, when it comes to words, chapters, whatever it is, it's the longest book in the Bible. Jeremiah is not second in chapters. There are 52 chapters here in Jeremiah, whereas Isaiah has 66 chapters. So it's third in chapters, but it is second only to Psalms in the number of words. In fact, when you get looking at it, Psalms 44,000 words, Jeremiah is just shy of as many words as Psalms, though it has one-third as many chapters. In fact, in reading through Jeremiah recently, as I did, it is over 80 pages, which is second again only to Psalms. So at least for me, in my Bible reading schedule, it takes me 8 days to read through the book of Jeremiah. And as I began reading Jeremiah this time, though I've read it many, many times before, the Lord just kind of opened my heart to a reality that I know I've read before and recognized before, but never saw the importance of it. The message of Jeremiah and the man that delivered that message. Jeremiah was given a very harsh message to deliver. It's there, it's recorded in Jeremiah 38 and verse number 2. And here the princes are repeating what Jeremiah had said. Jeremiah had said, "Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city," that's Jerusalem, "shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans," that is Nebuchadnezzar and the armies of Babylon, "he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, Babylon's army, which shall take it." Jeremiah's message given to him by the Lord was a message of judgment. It was a message of utter destruction. He was telling the children of Israel, if you will surrender to Nebuchadnezzar and his armies as they come, God will spare your life. But if you resist him or fight against him or try to flee from him, ye shall surely die. That's a tough message. Imagine being anointed a prophet of the Lord in our day right now and announcing to the American people, Russia or China, whatever you want to say, they're going to attack us. And thus saith the Lord, if you will surrender, if you will give up, if you'll throw up the white flag and not resist, God will spare your life. But if you arm yourselves and defend yourselves and fight against them, thou shalt surely die. I would not want to be the preacher to deliver that message. I would have a hard time personally with that message. But it was the message that God had delivered to Jeremiah. Now, it wasn't a shock to them. It wasn't like they didn't know this was coming. The book of Jeremiah could basically be divided into two sections. The first half of this very long book, very detailed book, is Jeremiah rebuking the people for their sins. They had gone into idolatry. They had followed the nations around them in worshiping gods of silver and of gold. And God was brokenhearted over His own people. And kept telling Jeremiah, tell them, I want them to repent. I want them to get rid of their idols. I want them to cut down their groves, the trees that they had shaped and formed into items of worship. I want them to return with their whole heart to the Lord. And they resisted and resisted and resisted. You remember the glorious kingdom that Israel had under David. Its prosperity, its power, its popularity. That kingdom went then to Solomon. Solomon built upon that which David had already had. And Solomon's kingdom was so great that even the Queen of Sheba that came from Ethiopia to see it, she said, I've heard of all these things. And I've heard of your wealth and your prosperity and your greatness and the happiness and the joy of your people. And I've come to see whether it's so. And she said these words, the half has not been spoken. We sing a hymn with those words. The half has not been told. She said, it is all better than what I'd ever heard of. What a glorious place God's kingdom was. But if you know your history in the Bible, after Solomon's death, his son Rehoboam took over. There was a division between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Don't you just love Bible names? Trying to keep them all straight and sorted out. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and Jeroboam, a servant of Solomon, who had fled when Rehoboam became king, and then gathered people and rebelled against him, and then the kingdom got divided to the northern kingdom and southern kingdom. And now the northern kingdom had 10 kings, and they were all wicked, and they were conquered by the Assyrians and gone into bondage, and there were no more. Now the two southern tribes, those are the ones that are left, these two southern tribes, under Rehoboam and now under Hezekiah, are delivered a message, if you don't straighten out, if you don't get right, the same thing's going to happen to you that happened to your sister, those northern tribes. I'm going to bring in the Chaldeans, not the Assyrians, but the Chaldeans. Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. There were no more bloodthirsty, despicable nations in the world in that time than Babylon. You will find the word Babylon more times in the book of Jeremiah than all the rest of the Bible combined. Because the message of Jeremiah was, God is going to open the floodgate, let Nebuchadnezzar come down with his armies and wipe you out if you don't repent. And in the first half of the book, the message was given, repent, repent, repent. God is a God of opportunity. God is a God of giving space for repentance. And yet the nation of Israel did not. So the second half of the book of Jeremiah, and this is what hit me as I'm reading through it, I felt extreme sympathy for Jeremiah. I don't want to say I felt sorry for him. But see, Jeremiah was cut from a different cloth than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the kind that kind of enjoyed confrontation. Enjoyed conflict. When we read about John the Baptist, he's out there crying in the wilderness, crying out in the wilderness, make straight the ways of the Lord. Jeremiah's not crying out, he's simply crying. He's called the weeping prophet. In Jeremiah chapter 9 and Jeremiah chapter 13, he talks about his tears and his heartbreak over his nation, his beloved people, because of their wicked ways and their sin, and they won't turn. John the Baptist was one that said to Herod that he was wrong for taking his brother's wife as his own wife. And because of that, John the Baptist was put in prison, and as you know the story, eventually beheaded. But John the Baptist was just that kind of guy that just went out there and did that. He was much like Elijah the prophet before him, who went in before Ahab the king and pointed his finger at him and said, thus saith the Lord, because of your idolatry, because of your sinfulness, because of your wickedness and leading the children of Israel astray, God is going to close up the heavens. It's not going to rain, but according to my word. Elijah thrived on that kind of thing. Here's Jeremiah. Jeremiah is not Elijah. Jeremiah is not John the Baptist. Jeremiah is your average, if we can say it, run-of-the-mill guy. Not trying to stir the pot, not trying to cause trouble. Just trying to be faithful in giving the message that the Lord gave him. And he said to the people, if you'll surrender to the Chaldeans, God will let you live. You'll go off into captivity. You'll be there for a number of years. It turned out to be 70. And after 70, you'll be able to return back to your homeland and your farmland, and everything will be fine. While you're in Babylon, you'll be able to buy houses and buy lands, and you'll have bread. But just surrender to them, because if you fight against them, you're going to die. Jeremiah faithfully, compassionately, with tears, delivered that message to a nation that didn't want to hear it. Let me give you four things this morning about the message of Jeremiah. First of all, Jeremiah's message was unwanted. His message was unwanted. They didn't want to hear repent. They didn't want to hear turn from your sin. They didn't want to hear get rid of your idols. They didn't want to hear get back right with God. They would listen to Jeremiah for a certain amount of time and give him space. But when it came to the message he was delivering, they didn't want any part of it. Look, if you would, in Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 44. Look at Jeremiah chapter 44. If you're there in chapter 38, look at Jeremiah 44. Here was their reaction to Jeremiah's preaching. Jeremiah chapter 44 and verse number 16. Here's what the people said to Jeremiah as he poured out his heart in compassion for his people. Verse 16, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. Wow. Can you be any more blatant than that? Could you be any more negative than that? Jeremiah, we hear what you're saying. And we hear the message that's delivering, that you're giving us from the Lord. But we're not going to do it. They didn't want that message. You know, it reminds me of a story earlier in the Bible. Let's look at it. If you're there in Jeremiah 38, turn to the left. Go back 300 years. Yeah, I thought you'd look at me eventually for that one. Go back to 1 Kings. It is going to be 300 years in time, but go back to 1 Kings chapter 22. Here's what happened in an earlier time to some kings that wanted to hear the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 22. You got 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. I want your eyes to lay on these words because I know you can hear me say it and it kind of resonates. But when your eyes look at it, like what we just looked at Jeremiah 44, and you actually see in black and white and print in ink, we will not do it. I think it just kind of jumps off the page and stands out. And here in 1 Kings chapter 22, let me give you the background again of what's going on here. Two kings, Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Remember I told you the kingdom got divided, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Well, here, as time goes on, now Ahab is the king of the northern tribes. Jehoshaphat is the king of the southern tribes. The northern tribes had 10 kings, all wicked. The southern kingdom had 10 kings, 5 wicked, but 5 good. Jehoshaphat was one of the good ones. So here's the time when Jehoshaphat and Ahab are reigning together, and Ahab wants to fight against Syria. And he goes to Jehoshaphat and says, join with me. Join affinity with me. Let's go fight against Syria. And Jehoshaphat mistakenly says, my people are as thy people. I am as thou art. Let's go together and make this war. Jehoshaphat had no business teaming up with wicked, ungodly Ahab to fight a battle. But he did. But they wanted to find out if God was with them or against them. Now that's a pretty good idea. And so here's what happens in 1 Kings chapter 22. And verse 4. And he said to Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people is thy people, my horses is thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Again, the good king, Jehoshaphat, said, let's get a word from the Lord before we do this. Verse 6, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. And said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. These 400 prophets told him what he wanted to hear. Did you get that? They told him what they... You know, there's a lot of people today that want to go to church and hear what they want to hear. I hope you're not that kind of folk, because you might be in the wrong place sometimes. Now, many times, let me clarify. Many times you come and you do hear what you want to hear. I love it. I enjoy it when during the week the Lord says, preacher, why don't you preach on heaven this week? Yes, sir. Preach on salvation, that it's a free gift of God because of the death of Christ on Calvary. Yes, sir. Preach about the security of the believer, that once you're saved, you're signed, sealed, and delivered, a child of God, and nobody can revoke that or cancel your birth certificate. Preach on that. Yes, sir. Preach on sanctification, how we should live holy lives and please God. Yes, sir. But you know, God always doesn't give a positive message. I mentioned in the Sunday school hour, I believe, I got saved when the preacher preached in a service on hell. And I went forward at the end of the service and got saved. Sometimes we have to preach a negative message. But sometimes we don't want to hear that negative message. And here was this guy. These prophets knew that the king wanted to hear what he wanted to hear. So they said, go up. The Lord has delivered it into thy hand. Verse 7. And Jehoshaphat said, I like Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Now here's something so great about your Bible, and I hope you see this. Notice in verse number 6. And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it. Notice that word Lord, capital L, small O-R-D. That's like kind of like saying, sir. That's a term of respect. But when Jehoshaphat says in verse 7, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? It's all capitals, L-O-R-D. You know what that is? That's the title of Jehovah. See, the first guys were trying to pull a quick one. Use the right terminology, but not referring to the right person. But Jehoshaphat spotted it. He knew there was something wasn't right in what was being said. And so he said, wait a minute, isn't there a prophet of Jehovah? Isn't there a prophet of the Lord here somewhere? He knew that message just didn't sound right. Thank God for discernment. Thank God for spiritual discernment that we can develop as a Christian to be able to spot when somebody's even using the right terminology. We can identify that something just doesn't sound right there. So Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? And the king of Israel said in verse 8 unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the, all caps, of the Lord. But I hate him. Isn't that strong language? But I hate him. Why would you hate a prophet of the Lord? For he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Wah. That's what I feel like writing in the margin of my Bible right there. Wah. I don't want that prophet to come in here because he never says anything nice. He never says anything positive. He always says something evil against me. Well, I wonder, King Ahab married to Queen Jezebel, I wonder why in the world he would not have anything nice to say about you. He's a prophet of the Lord. They didn't want to hear. So you know what this prophet did? At first, and we won't take the time to read the whole story, but at first he said, all right, the Lord says, L-O-R-D, small. He says, go ahead, fight the battle. And then Ahab says, how many times must I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is right in the eyes of the Lord? And so then Micaiah says, I saw all Israel scattered without a shepherd. And he announced that they were gonna that Ahab would die in that battle. His message wasn't wanted. You know, there's a lot of messages today that aren't wanted. There are preachers, and you might have heard this on television several years ago, very popular preacher being interviewed, and he said, the preacher asked him, he said, do you ever preach on sin? He said, I never use that word. Do you preach on judgment? No, I don't talk about that. Do you preach about hell? No, I never preach about that. Well, if you're not preaching about that, you're not preaching the Word of God. Did you know there's more about hell in the Bible than there is about heaven? There is. There's more about hell. There's more stories. There's more time. There's more times the Word appears in the Bible than there is about heaven. You know why? Because the Bible's trying to warn you. Two-thirds of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection. The first two are negative. The third one's positive. Don't we need negative? Don't we need to be told no? Boy, do we live in a world where people don't say no. Parents don't say no. I'm not going to give illustration. Wednesday night I made reference to something, but something that I said, kids need to learn no. They need to hear no. Everything doesn't need to be given. Everything doesn't need to be provided. Every wish doesn't need to come through. They need to learn to hear no so that when they grow up, they'll learn to understand the meaning of the word no. And many adults today don't know the word no. And when God says no to them about something in their life, they don't understand it. They can't comprehend it. They can't deal with it. Because everything's supposed to be yes, yes, yes. Well, here the Bible says no. In fact, if you're in Jeremiah, look back at Jeremiah chapter 1. Again, we could exhaust this because Jeremiah is the second longest book in the Bible. We could look at a whole lot of things, but notice again this message that God is giving Jeremiah. Back in chapter 1, Jeremiah chapter 1, begin in verse number 4, just because this is good. Verse number 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee, this is God speaking to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, that's good, I knew thee in the womb. Folks, you get that? God knew the baby in the womb. Now that's a whole different message, a whole different topic, but just get that. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Before you came out of the womb. I set you apart. I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, Jeremiah says, and behold, the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Notice verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to, one, root out, number two, pull down, number three, destroy, number four, throw down, number five, build, number six, plant. Just briefly, can I say that four out of the six are negative, which is two-thirds of the Bible, two-thirds of the gospel, two-thirds of the message of Jeremiah. You and I need to learn how to receive negatives, to receive correction, to receive instruction. Can we be so arrogant? Can we be so egotistical as to any part in our life saying, I am in a place right now where I need no correction. I need no instruction. I have attained perfectness. If you have, you're dead. Because that's the only time you're going to attain it. As long as you're alive and breathing, you are still struggling in this life with some area of sin, some area of disobedience to God. I mean, can we just be honest? If the prophets, if the men of God, if Noah had a problem, and David had a problem, and Peter had a problem, and Paul had a problem, I guarantee you've got one. I guarantee I've got one. It's just a matter of recognizing it and then coming together under the sound of the preaching of the Word so that God can correct us. And we ought to come with open and expectant hearts. God, what do you want to correct in me? What do you want to help me with? What do I need to yield in? But too many times, the message is unwanted. You know what the Bible says over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3? For time's sake, we'll not turn there, but 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it says, In the last days, which is the days we're in now, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what the Bible predicted? It predicted that in the last days, which we are living in now, people would want people, preachers, to tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. And so Jeremiah's message was a message that went against the grain. It went against their nature. He told them something they did not want to hear. His message was unwanted. Secondly, I said there's four things. First of all, his message was unwanted. Second of all, his message was unpopular. His message was unpopular. Look back at verse number 1. We're again in Jeremiah chapter 38. Look at verse number 1. And there's a purpose. Why did God list these five names? Just so we could get tongue-tied? Just so we could be thankful that we don't use Hebrew names in naming our children today? All these multi-syllable names. I'm thankful my name is Steve. One syllable, simple, easy. Now, if you've got a longer name, that doesn't mean anything. All right, don't worry about it. But it's not like this. Shephatiah, Gedaliah, Jukal, that's not a long name, Pasher. These four guys that are mentioned up here in verse number 38, their names are not given just so that we can struggle with pronunciation. They're given for you and I to indicate that there were some people, specific people, who did not appreciate this message and did not like it and did not want people to hear it. And they were not just for anybody's. They were for princes. Verse 4, Therefore the princes said unto the king. Jeremiah's message was not a popular message. He was considered by them to be a traitor. Why? Because he was going against nationalism, Jewish nationalism, Zionism. He was telling them, you surrender to Nebuchadnezzar and everything will be okay. But you fight against him and thou shalt surely die. And that's not the West message they wanted. Like in Micaiah's day, they wanted the 400 prophets. They wanted the well-known guys. They wanted the established ones. They didn't want to hear from the Word of the Lord. They wanted anybody that would tell them what they wanted to hear. You and I live in a day where there are many popular preachers. And you have to be very careful at following someone because of their popularity. You have to follow them because of their biblical teaching. Because just because they can fill an auditorium, just because they can draw a large crowd, just because they can have the princes and the kings on their side, does not mean their message is from the Lord. Again, we come to that thing of having to have discernment and separating the right message from the wrong message. And again, as we talk about in Sunday school, that's the importance of reading your Bible daily so that you have the discernment to be able to do that. The Pharisees and the scribes, the Sadducees, they were the popular group back in Jesus' day. They were the ones that controlled everything and owned everything and had everything. They were the popular religious leadership. And if you know anything about the Lord during His earthly ministry, He was not fond of them. He was not on their side. His message contradicted their message over and over and over again. Don't follow a preacher. Don't follow a message just because it's popular. I'll be careful in saying this. We've just come through a monumental event. We had a solar eclipse. Now some of you have already forgotten. It was such a big deal that, oh yeah, when was that again? But a lot of preachers got on the air and got on the TV and got on all internet and all that, and they were looking for the Bible predictions of the solar eclipse on Monday, April, whatever it was, that was going to be there. And everybody jumped on board and ran after this. And anytime there is some big event in the atmosphere and the planets, the blood moons, whatever it is, books get published and people jump on board and everybody goes crazy for a little while till it blows over and it's gone. We followed what was popular at the time and we forget what's lasting and what really has meaning. Be careful of those things that are popular. Be careful of those things that spring up and demand attention and obedience and allegiance, and stick to those things that are time-trued. Here, Jeremiah was given a message. His message was unwanted. His message was unpopular. Thirdly, his message was unheeded. We read it already in Jeremiah chapter 44. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. Again, the arrogance, the pride. Jeremiah, we're not going to obey what you said the Lord said. We don't like that preaching. We don't like that negativity. Tell us something we want to hear. Is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Jeremiah says, I am, and here's the message. We're not going to do it. You know, some folks will go into eternity without ever hearing a clear presentation of the gospel of Christ. We talk about the heathen that have never heard. We imagine in our mind's eye those in Africa or those in Cambodia or those in some backwood, darkwood place, and we really major on the heathen that have never heard. And in our modern world, I wonder how many of those there actually really are. Because I think most of the heathen have heard. I know all the heathen in America have pretty much heard. And the gospel has gone out and it is rung from east coast to west coast. And there's not a place you can go in the 48 continental states and our other two states, no place you can go that you can't get the message or find the message if you're looking for it. And there are going to be a multitude of people that have been warned a multitude of times and heard a message that they really didn't like. Oh, that preacher told me that my good works won't get me to heaven. I don't like that. Oh, that preacher told me I needed to trust Christ as my Savior. I can live my own life. I can do my own thing. Oh, that preacher told me that if I don't trust Christ, I'm going to go to hell when I die. I believe that hell is just the grave, and once you're dead, that's the end of it. And they don't heed the message. And they don't listen to what God says. And they die without Christ. And just like the people that did not heed the message of Jeremiah, they shall surely die. Only their death is not just the physical death they've already experienced. It's a second death talked about in the book of Revelation in a lake of fire. You know the best thing those people could have done? Was heed the Word of God. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Repent of their wickedness and their evil. Put away their idolatries. Turn back to the Lord. But they didn't do it. We'll do whatsoever goes out of our own mouth. Man's wisdom, man's reasoning, man's philosophies, man's terminology, instead of the message of the Lord. You know the phrase, thus saith the Lord, appears, I think it's 53 times in the book of Jeremiah. I've written this at the beginning. And there's another phrase, thus saith the Lord, 148 times in the book of Jeremiah, more than any other book in the Bible. Thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah's message was undoubtedly from God. Yet it went unheeded. Let me quickly go to point number four. The last point. Number one, his message was unwanted. Number two, his message was unpopular. It wasn't mainstream. Number three, his message was unheeded. And then number four, trying to follow the outline, his message was not unfulfilled. His message was not unfulfilled. No matter how much they disliked it, now, no matter how unpopular it was, no matter what they did with it, it came to pass. It's one of the great Bible phrases in all the Bible. And it came to pass. What the Lord said, it says, hath the Lord spoken it, and shall it not be done? The Lord said, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come from the north. He's going to invade Jerusalem if you don't get right. And when he does, he'll burn down all the buildings. He'll tear down the Temple of Solomon, that glorious, beautiful, magnificent temple. He'll tear it down. He'll burn the city. He'll run everybody out. He'll destroy everything. He'll take all the treasures in the house of the Lord, the gold, the brass, the silver, the copper. He'll take them and put them in the house of his false god up in Babylon. He'll do all that if you don't repent. We won't do it. We will not do it. That didn't stop it from happening. Folks, I don't believe there's a hell. Doesn't really matter what you say, does it? I mean, God says there is, you say there isn't, I'll leave it up to you. I don't believe there's life after death. Free country, believe what you want to. I'm not worried about judgment. Good for you. But they're going to happen. No matter how much you deny it, I don't believe there's a God. Sorry, you're wrong. And one of these days you'll understand that, you'll know it. No sense arguing it now, trying to disprove it now. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what you believe. Really doesn't matter what you accept. Doesn't really matter what you know. Thus saith the Lord. And you know what happened in the last, well not turn there, but you know what happens in the last chapter of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 52? You want to take a wild guess? What happens in Jeremiah 52, the last chapter? Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and the army of the Chaldeans come down into Jerusalem. They take Zedekiah, the king, who wavered back and forth. Sometimes he was a friend of Jeremiah. Sometimes, as we read in Jeremiah 38, he was saying there's nothing the king can do, and he threw him in prison. He was a politician. All right? Let's just say, he went whichever way the wind was going at the time. And Zedekiah, when Nebuchadnezzar came down, took Zedekiah back to Babylon with him, put out his son's eyes, let him watch it, and then put out his eyes. The people that were in Jerusalem were taken captive to Babylon for the next 70 years. You know some of them, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know the story. Taken to Babylon, and for 70 years they abode there till Nehemiah started bringing the people back after that 70-year period. And Jerusalem was completely destroyed and obliterated and wiped out and lay in ruins for 70 years for one reason. They didn't listen to the message of Jeremiah. It was unwanted. It was unpopular. It was unheeded. But it was not unfulfilled, because the word of the Lord always comes to pass. Isn't that an interesting story from 2,500 years ago? All right, 2,600 years ago. Jeremiah is like 586 BC, something like that. What an interesting story and its concepts from 2,500 years ago. But isn't it a truth in 2024? That much of what's preached, when it's biblically sound, is unwanted. Much of what's preached, when it's biblically based, is unpopular. And people rather go hear the popular stuff, the good stuff. Tickle my ears. Tell me what I want to hear, not what I need to hear. Isn't it amazing that 2,500 years, it's a message that still goes unheeded. But it is a message that will not go unfulfilled. Everything the Bible says that hasn't already come to pass, much of it already has, which is only further indication that everything that it says is yet to come is going to happen exactly the way the Bible declares it. The message of Jeremiah, the message of the preacher today. Let's stand together this morning with our